You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Andy Holding with you on the latest edition. You may have heard him talking some, I was going to call it Irish nonsense. I was going to call it.
Nothing changes.
No, exactly. But he's actually here live in the flesh in the studio on this occasion, looking ahead to some English action on Tuesday. Mr. Holding, how are you?
Oh, very well. Yes, not bad at all.
Good. Day two of two for you. In Leeds. You were on the television yesterday.
Yes.
We are going to focus on action at Kempton on Tuesday because Hereford should be on, fingers crossed.
It should be, but obviously the weather could be very inclement and it might go from soft to heavy, and I don't really want to be tipping something now and saying, oh, it'll be okay when it's going to be bottomless.
And Air have got a precautionary inspection officially at 8 a.m.
That'll be off.
It's not looking particularly good
for
Air. Fingers crossed that they can avoid the worst of the weather. But
it's no point me doing a podcast and finding there's going to be a non-runner. So if I'm going to tip something now for people to look at bet on, then Kempton's the safest bet.
Absolutely. We'll get to that shortly. Mentioned that you were on the TV yesterday. That meant that you saw a rather smart performance by a horse that you know rather well. Would you care to divulge?
Yeah, I was lucky to be involved in a horse called Dr. Phoenix, who was bought by the Nick Bradley Racing Group, courtesy of Will Smith, who's the racing manager for Nick. And he asked me to come into involvement with this horse in the summer when they acquired it for what looked at the time a fairly cheap purchase, 10 grand. I thought, well, in for a penny, in for a pound, 10%.
It was with David Dennis, wasn't it?
That's right. But he got a lot of backlash with Dave Dennis, obviously come out well on my numbers. I thought, well, 10 grand, 10%, you know, 1,000 quid.
Yeah.
Bob's your uncle. It's worth a roll of the dice. He's going with Gordon Elliott. There's a chance he might improve him. Albeit he's a 9-year-old, 10-year-old. I thought, well, you know, he might be just pot hunted around Ireland, some of the smaller, you know, graded races, because he's rated in the mid-140s, pick up some prize money and see how we go. But lo and behold, he's won two valuable handicaps, one at Cork. Might have won the next one at Fairy House had he not made a bad mistake. He went back to the track yesterday and he beat a good field, but not only a good field, but in a very fast time. I've already done the numbers.
All right.
He clocked a very impressive last circuit. They've gone a real hard gallop. They ran the last circuit 45 lengths quicker than Saturnus and the Plotting Shed, two genuine graded horses who fought out the finish of the Beginners' Chase, the race afterwards. So he's obviously operated at a very good level. I'll presume the handicapper will put him up now to the mid-150s, maybe even higher, which then gives us a quandary of where we go next. If he is to run in a handicap, it might well be something like the Grand Annual at the Festival. We've entered him in the Champion Chase. The likelihood of him running there are quite remote because he would probably need soft ground to be even considered. Obviously, then he's got to go left-handed undulating track where we know he goes really well right-handed on a soft surface, on a flat track.
Yeah.
So that the sensible option would be to look at Punchestown in April, where he's likely to get a little bit of juice in the ground, and maybe enter him in the Grade 1, where a lot of the bigger names like your Altiors, your Mins, your Duvans might have already run their races at either Cheltenham or Aintree.
Mm.
You know, it's a €275,000 race. And Davy Russell, who's already spoken to Will, the racing manager, said he reminds me of Mansoni, who won that race beating New Mill in 2007. And Davy rode Mansoni, who was only rated 150 at the time. So it can be possible to beat a big gun when they've had a hard season. So that might be a consideration for Dr. Phoenix.
He was visually very impressive. Now, I know they did go one heck of a gallop, didn't they?
They did.
Yesterday. And that's not to detract from the horse's performance, because it was very good. But everything did sort of go right, didn't it?
Well, it did. But that's the way he has to be ridden. He's a hold-up horse that likes a strong pace. Luckily, they did go the gallop that he wanted. But that was always going to be the case.
Mm.
And it very much played into his hands. But every race he runs in over 2 miles, they're going to go pace. It's not as if, oh, yeah, you're going to get a slowly run race here, you're not going to be affected. All the 2 mile handicaps that he's ever likely to be running, even at graded level, they're going to go pace.
Yeah.
So he's got that in his armour. He doesn't need a slow run race to be effective. And then you think, well, he's in trouble when they go quick. You very, very rarely get a slowly run 2 mile handicap or graded grade one chase.
Now, he's 50 to 1 for the Champion Chase. I know that you said that there's every chance he won't go there, but that is the one race at Cheltenham that he is entered for. And part of the promotion here at William Hill is money back if your horse misses the Cheltenham Festival altogether.
Yeah.
So he's not going to go for anything else at the festival, is he?
The Grand Annual would be the only other race he'd be a consideration.
See, we were talking about this yesterday, weren't we? That the fact that he would have to saddle probably top weight or close to if he did go for that. Which, again, could almost blunt his finishing kick, if you like.
Yeah, top weight last year was Eastlake, rated 154. At time of recording, he's 146, but as we said, he's likely to be reassessed into the mid-150s, which means that he'll probably carry top weight if he was to be a consideration.
Mm.
And we'd only really be looking to get Jack Kennedy or David Russell on board because they've ridden him before,
yeah.
And they both get on well. So there's no chance of a £7 or £3 conditional
coming in and
going in and taking weight off. That just wouldn't be an option. But he's an exciting horse. From a 10 grand horse, all of a sudden we're thinking about running him in grade ones, which is almost like a rags to riches kind of jet setting kind of thing. You know, he cost Connections £8,000 and he ended up being sold for £1.3 million.
That'd be nice.
We're not quite talking. But I think if you value Dr. Phoenix now,
yeah,
not as though anyone would buy a 10-year-old who's, you know, I'm saying been round the block because he only had 18 races, but he'd probably be worth, what? If somebody wanted to have him now, you're probably looking at, what, 200 grand?
Mm. Yeah.
For having a horse at the Cheltenham Festival, something like that. So, but he's won £86,000. He owes no one nothing. And even if he never won another race, it's just been a great involvement.
Yeah, absolutely. So good luck with wherever he does go next.
So it can be done, people out there. You don't have to spend a fortune to pick up a decent horse.
Mm. And whether it is Cheltenham or elsewhere, I'm sure you'll keep us posted. And
I will, of course.
And we'll have to see where Dr. Phoenix does end up next, but fingers crossed.
Well, if he's at Punchestown, I'll definitely be there this year.
Okay.
I didn't go last year, but the plan is, God willing, from Still Breathing, to be at the Punchestown Festival in April.
Good. Very different story on Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, where we're going to focus on two races at Kempton. Start with a handicap over 6 furlongs. It is the 4:35. It's a Class 6 event. And we've got plenty of old favourites in here, horses that seem to turn up over this track, or at least on the all-weather through the winter months. So there's one that I want to start with here, and it's a horse that I'm a little bit peeved with, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I was going to nap it the other day, and I bottled it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Mercer's.
Okay.
The butler horse, Jason Watson, on board. And the logic in the past had a little bit of form, and Jason Watson was one of the better apprentices in one of those apprentice races where plenty of the runners have actually got jockeys on who've never ridden a winner or are very inexperienced. And on a day when I didn't fancy much, I thought, shall I stick that in at 16s? And then I thought, nah, don't be silly.
Is that the race when you beat Yorkdick Prince?
Yes.
Mm.
So
ouch.
We'll start with that one, because you can't deny he did it well at Lingfield.
Has he got a better record at Lingfield than he has at Kempton?
I believe so.
Because I think Lingfield plays to his strength. He used to be with Peter Craik, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not sure whether he's actually ever run at Kempton.
He's had one, finished third.
All right, okay. Does that have a five?
Yes.
Yeah, so this is 6, isn't it?
It's just one of those horses that it may be that going forward I can never get him right ever again. You know what I mean? But
funeral and weddings, for
yes,
mind.
Completely. But that said, there are a few others here that have clearly got outstanding claims, the likes of Olauda as well for Henry Candy, Nicola Curry on board. That one, I believe I'm right in saying, let me just double check, bumped into one
pulsating
last time out. Yeah.
Who mowed him down late on in the hands of Edward Greatchicks. He run quite well the other night at Wolverhampton. He just got too far back in a more evenly run race. But the one I quite like is New Rich.
They ran on the same card, didn't they?
They did, and the time comparison.
Because Eddie Greatchicks had two winners and they were both last to first.
Time comparisons are virtually identical as well, so I do think New Rich has got a really good turn of foot. He loves it here. He's a hold-up performer, so he's going to come from a long way off the pace. Hopefully they'll go a good gallop. There are several front runners in the race, as far as I can see.
Mm.
And I do like Eve Johnson horses when they're in good forms, like Gorian has proven. He's won his last three. And Edward Greycheck is riding on the crest of a rave. He rode, actually, funny enough, Dark Alliance twice for me last week. So we know that Edward is seeing it. He's tactically astute at getting these horses to be delivered at the right time. And hopefully, because Alula is likely to be a fairly short price favourite, we might get an each-way price about Newrich.
Yeah, quite possibly. And there are plenty who arrive here, certainly not in the best of form, I think it's fair to say. So if you are looking for an each-way wager, it could well be that your options are fairly limited. You might look at it and go, oof, sprint handicap, 12 runners, but feasibly, it could only be half the field that have actually got a feasible chance of...
Absolutely, yeah.
...of figuring.
And he's a horse that often does hit the frame, even if he doesn't win.
Yeah. Okay, so Newrich.
Yep.
Selection number one, that's in the 435 at Kempton. The 540 at Kempton is a handicap over 7 furlongs. Plenty of these are in really good nick. Again, it's horses that we know inside out, really.
Yep.
But the key is which of them are going to turn up on the day. And the likes of Lucy May, she's been in cracking form, looking for a hat-trick here. But then you've got Edgedarf, who bounced back to form last time out. You've got London, who was a winner a week ago, and plenty of others. Where do you want to start here?
Well, the first thing to say, there's going to be plenty of pace signed on here. It's going to be a strongly run run. So that's going to suit the kickers at the end. London obviously made all last time out. Poetic Force likes to go forward. So I'm going to be on a horse that I think was a bit unlucky last time out at Lingfield when the race wasn't run to suit. And that's Makarim from the Hugh and Robinson stable. He was really impressive the time before when things panned out for him. But he got stuck out wide last time out and then he didn't get the clearest runs. But the horse that beat it, Chiron's got a good turn of foot. And he was just a bit unlucky. He went through the line very strong. He's got a good draw today. He's drawn stall one. Hopefully with a better break he can get to a good position because he has got a good kick finish.
Mm.
And I like the angle of following an in-form Hugh Morrison horse.
Interesting that I was on air actually while we were covering Kempton the other day, and the inside rail as they turn in was almost a little bit dead.
Mm.
And people that were challenging up there were getting so far, but it did pay to come fast and late down the outside, or at least make your challenge up the centre of the course, and then a few of them did edge to the far side. Now, obviously, we're recording this the day before the racing, so we can't speculate. But would that be a concern if you are drawn in one? Because he's not going to be coming fast and late down the outside, is he?
It all depends how they split and which direction that Kingscote decides to go at Makarim. We presume that London will still be in front, and he'll probably go middle to far side anyway.
Yeah.
Because the front runners tend to do that. So, therefore, the instinct of a lot of jockeys in behind will be to challenge on the left-hand side, hopefully.
Mm.
For another horse, for instance, Edgedarf, he always challenges up the inner. He never switches out wide, so it could go against him. So there could be a bit of a bun fight for the inner, and hopefully Makarim might just be able to switch off at some stage and come out of the normal inside pocket where he's in.
Fast and late. Also worth noting, Intransigent is in the race, mm-hmm. who of course won this race last year.
He did. He's a horse that's been around the block a bit, but he still maintains some of his best form. Just the draw while we're talking on, it could actually be even worse for him though, and still 13. I don't like horses right out on the wing.
Yeah.
I'd rather be in one than 13.
There's tucking in, and then there's really having to completely and utterly change the race that you're riding to account for your draw. So.
Yeah.
But Makarim, the selection, which would be the better bet for you, Makarim or Newrich, if you're looking for a nap and a next best, if you like, at Kempton?
Good question, really. A lot depends on prices, you know.
I was going to say, we are recording this at 3 o'clock, aren't we?
I'm price sensitive.
Yeah.
I'd probably say Newrich from an each-way perspective.
Can't say about the frame.
No. If he's 4-1 or bigger, then, yeah, he'd be a good each-way bet.
Good stuff, Mr. Holding.
No problem.
Well, we'll speak to you again soon. Good luck with Dr. Phoenix, and continue giving us Irish winners as and when you can. And we'll catch up with you soon on the William Hill Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.